In the name of Jesus, amen. The parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, or at least some misunderstood version of these two parables, can be found lived out in every religion in the world. The kingdom of heaven should be of such great value to us that we should be willing to sell everything we have to obtain it. After all, that's what radical Islamists believe. That's why they leave backpacks full of explosives at concerts and run down infidels with vans, so that they may gain paradise. Mormons believe this as well. That's why they give up years of their lives to become missionaries and meticulously follow all the statutes of their book, The Pearl of Great Price. Buddhists believe this too. If they are really committed, they sell all their possessions, wear orange robes, and enter monasteries. People of all kinds of philosophies and religions think that by giving up everything, they will receive a treasure more valuable than any other. They give up everything so that they might buy their version of the kingdom of heaven. But this is not what Jesus would have us learn from these parables this morning. That is not what he has to tell us. Christianity stands alone, apart from every other religion in the world. Not just because the kingdom of heaven is not for sale, but because even if it were, no matter what we do, no matter how much we give up, no matter what it is, we will always fall short. Everything about us falls short. Our dedication, our sincerity, our commitment, everything. Even if we do sincerely dedicate ourselves with great commitment for a while, it's just that, only for a while. Even if we can pull it off on the outside, it's got to be absolutely genuine on the inside as well. And that's where the real problem lies. A problem so big, we can't do anything about it. We know the kingdom of heaven should be of the utmost value to us. We know we should be willing to give up everything to gain it. We know it, but knowing is not the problem. Doing is the problem. And it's a huge problem because it's not just that we won't do it, but that we can't do it. No matter how hard we try, it's just not going to happen. Remember the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus and asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, to make a point, Jesus goes along with the conclusions of every religion in the world. He reveals the rich young man's sinful heart by saying, "Sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and come follow me." And what happened? When the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful. He wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it because he loved other things more than the kingdom that he thought he wanted. Well, I know that young man. I see him in the morning, in the mirror, every day. And perhaps you also see that same young man in your mirrors too. That young man is just like us. Jesus had to show him that he not only couldn't do it, but he wouldn't do it. And that seemed to rattle the nerves of Jesus' disciples, who had given up quite a bit to follow Jesus. They asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus answered, "With man it's impossible, though with God all things are possible." And that is the key. The man in these parables, who sells everything he has, gives up everything to buy the treasure, is obviously not me. It's not us. It's not you. And neither does Jesus tell us these parables only to tell us that it should be us, although it certainly should be. Jesus tells us these parables because they are autobiographical. They're about him. He's the man, not you. He's the one who gave up everything. From heaven above to earth I come, Luther has us sing at Christmas time. Coming down from his perfect throne in heaven to live for us as one of us. Putting himself under the law, doing what we could not do, being who we could not be. And on the Friday we call good, he lays down his perfect sinless life for us on the cross in order to redeem us, to buy us back, purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, as the Catechism tells us. And why did he do this? That I and you might be his priceless treasure. Now you see what makes this parable uniquely Christian and separate from every other religion in the world. It is not us who is the doer, but it's God. We aren't the man who found a treasure hidden in a field. We aren't the ones who discovered a pearl of awesome value. He is. And the treasure hidden in the field, the pearl of great price, it's you. Now, maybe on your best days, when everything is just clicking along, everything going just right, maybe that's the way you feel. You know, look at me, I am a priceless treasure. A rare golden Tahitian pearl. And as long as you have something that the world values, the world might allow you to continue thinking about yourself that way. But screw up once, and you lose it all. Come in last place, lowest, broken, shattered by life, lose your looks, your wealth, or your woke credentials, your mind, whatever that's valued by the world, you are no longer a treasure at all. Once a pearl, now tossed aside, forgotten. And maybe that has happened to some of you. At this point in your life, perhaps the party's over. You're washed up, a has-been, and the world has moved on. Not a treasure at all in the eyes of the world. Now listen to the parable again with ears to hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Into the ruddy field of this world God steps, and by his declaration he makes his proclamation. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth, a treasure hidden in the world, but a treasure nonetheless. A treasure known by the Father, known and loved and considered so valuable that he would not withhold his only begotten Son from death. A treasure so precious that the Son, though he was in the form of God, made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant being born in the likeness of men, humbling himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross for you. Jesus would have you know what the kingdom of heaven is like. His kingdom is a kingdom of grace, of Him finding you, of Him going after you, of Him dying for you, of Him buying you, of Him making you His very own. If you were looking for this treasure, what kind of box do you think it would be found in? Elaborate, ornate, perhaps? What kind of container holds such a treasure? Well, that treasure chest is shaped somewhat like a casket. A casket because that's us spiritually, born dead in our trespasses, dead and buried. We were dead, unable to find Christ, and not really looking for Him, if we're honest. Enemies of God, not even wanting to be found. Christ found you. And in finding you, He was not content to leave you dead and buried, but decided to purchase you with all that He had. By His Good Friday dying, He joins you in the grave so that you might join Him in the resurrection. The epistle lesson tells us, Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn among many, meaning there will be others, namely you. And this has already happened to you. It happened to you right here when you were baptized. In this water, you were baptized and you were dug up. You were raised from the dead. You were given the Holy Spirit and a whole new life. Living as we do in a world that is dying to live, but dying all the same, this is an amazing thing to know about yourself. And to know that the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like a kingdom of resurrection. It is a kingdom of life, that those who were dead might live again. Live again not only on the last day, but live again even here and now. God counts you of such great value that He would give up His own Son into death for you. The Son counts you of such value that He would do all of this for you. In a world that ultimately sees you as one of little value, it is easy to believe that you are meaningless. But you are not who you think you are. You are who He says you are. A sinner, yes, but in Christ, His treasure. Oh, you may think you don't look much now, hardly like a treasure, hardly like a glittering pearl. You probably look like all the other fish in the sea. But Jesus knows His own. He knows His treasure. He knows the good fish from the bad. And for Him, what separates the good fish from the bad fish is faith and trust in what He has done. Faith and trust that Jesus has purchased you and won you with His death and resurrection. For you and for me, for Christians, it's all about Jesus. His coming, His living, His dying, His work, His finding, His burying, His buying, His forgiving, His loving, His water, His word, and His body and blood. With these, you are a rich treasure. With these, you have everything. With these, you are safe and hid in Christ in God. With these, the kingdom of heaven is yours by the rich grace of God alone. Amen.